Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Here on my headset, so I hope you guys can hear me okay. Happy New Year to you. Happy 2017. And there it is. Now I can hear it again. So it's kind of coming in and out. I don't know exactly what's going on there, but I'll keep an eye on the clock, and we'll work through this together. But Happy New Year to you. I hope you had an awesome Christmas break. And for some of you, maybe you're still on Christmas break, and I'll try not to covet and be too envious of that. But we had an awesome, I think the best Christmas break of the Noble family history, and we spent it up in Chicago. Many of you know that. And a special break, by the way, special thank you to my buddy Chris Connell, who's always my great host here at Raleigh First Assembly, just an incredible church here in Raleigh, North Carolina. And his senior pastor, Chad Harvey, and Chris filled in for me. Well, he was supposed to fill in for me more than he did. But, you know, family and ministry and lost people and heaven and hell and all that kind of stuff. And so he did fill in last Thursday and had an incredible guest. Just an incredible story of trying to fight sex trafficking in Nepal. That was a great show. Thanks to Chris for always taking such good care of me and helping me out when I'm away and can't do the show. But really enjoyed, no offense to all you guys, really enjoyed not being on the radio. For we left on the 21st. We came back on the 28th, or no, the 29th or the 30th, something like that. We just got back a couple days ago. Chicago, it reminded me why we left. And one of the reasons that we left is Christmas time, winter, December, actually probably 4 months out of the year in Chicago was just brutal. I mean, when we got there, I think the high for the day was 25 or 28, and it went downhill from there. I think the day we left last Saturday, just a few days ago, I think the high for the day was 6. So coming back here to Raleigh, North Carolina, where the high today is like 27, and the high today, tomorrow is 35, darn right balmy. So it was just freezing up there. It was a good reminder of why we left the Midwest. But we had an awesome time with family, both my family side and Gina's family side, my wife and her brother and sister and all their kids, and who match up really well with our kids. Hayden, our oldest, who many of you know, used to produce Call to Action Radio for 3 years and then went off to college. And now he's a full-time employee down there and starting his career, and he lives in Orlando. But he came up and joined us, and we just had nonstop fun with cousins and my brother and sister, and it was just this awesome trip. So I just feel so blessed. We had a great Christmas, great time up there, and our daughter, Caroline, who's now 13, boo-hoo. When your youngest one leaves the confines of preteen life and then all of a sudden is a teenager and then on up, 13, 16, soon to be 17, 19, soon to be 20, and 22, I'm like, wow, this aging thing is not cool. Anyway, we had a great time. I hope you had a great time. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas and Happy New Year to you. And whatever your New Year's resolutions are, you know, enjoy the gym for the next week or two and then get back to your regular routine. It is interesting, isn't it, how the new year is such this phenomenon. I think that we crave, because of our fallen nature, quite frankly, I think we crave new beginnings. I think we crave do-overs. I think we know that there's something better, that there's something bigger, that there's something more pure, more holy, that we aren't quite walking the way that we should, but there's an opportunity to do better. I think that's buried in us from our Creator. And I think the new year just kind of gives that some new life every year. We sit there and go, okay, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to change this. I'm going to change that. I'm going to improve this, improve that, lose this, collect that. Whatever it is, it is interesting, and we can be skeptical about it. But it does bring this kind of newness to us. 2017 for the Noble family was a very challenging year on a number of fronts, especially up through August. But God did what he always does. He's faithful. He keeps his promises. We do not control the timing of that. We do not control the mechanisms by which he keeps his promises. And sometimes it takes years. And for some of you, you're sitting there saying, it takes decades. And I receive that. I agree with that wholeheartedly. That's what faith is all about, the things that we cannot see, and based on what we know of God's character, that we can lean into him and trust him even in the difficult days, weeks, months, or years that you are enduring. And we certainly endured a lot as a family in 2017. So I'm kind of glad that's behind us and God's at work and he's still on the throne and he still rules the universe with his feet up. So praise the Lord for that. And it's just great to be back with you. So here's what we're going to do today with the remainder of the show. I'm just going to go over. I garnered a bunch of different lists. I've been reading a bunch of different things about kind of the top 10 or so stories, news stories from the year 2017. And it's interesting what's missing from a few of them. And there's one thing that was missing from all of them that I looked at. And then there were some inconsistencies between this, that, and the other one. So one from the Associated Press, one from NBC News, one from Google. And then Pastor James White, who's an outstanding pastor down in the Charlotte area, he looked at a bunch of different Google searches, which is kind of a scary way to look at American life in any given year, but in this case, 2017. And then I'll finish with something that is a little bit more focused just on us as evangelicals or born-again Christians, whatever you want to call yourself these days. Tim Keller, along with the leadership of the Gospel Coalition, listed five main challenges and five main opportunities facing the Christian church in 2018. We'll finish with that today before we finish our time together on the show. But let me start with this. I'm just going to use this one because it was pretty indicative of kind of the biggies for this year, and not in any particular order in this case, but this is the Associated Press. They do an annual poll of U.S. editors and news directors across different organizations, which means it's mostly liberal perspective, but it is what's out there, and I looked at the list, and I agree with most of it. Again, there is a glaring missing component here, and we'll see if you can pick up on it as we go through this over the next couple segments, but this is just their top 10, okay? This isn't in any particular order. The Associated Press. One, of course, sexual misconduct. The scandals involving sexual misdeeds by prominent men are nothing new in America, but it's kind of gone to a whole new level. Harvey Weinstein, Bill O'Reilly, Matt Lauer, Charlie Rose, on and on and on it goes. So that's been a biggie, and that was on pretty much every list out there, which just shows that the old saying that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely, especially when it comes to kind of sexual conquest, sexual intimidation. I mean, the sexual sin in the world is enormous anyway. I think we all are aware of that. And this just brought it out. And then, of course, it gave part of this is like, you know, Judge Roy Moore. The whole Judge Roy Moore thing didn't show up on any of these lists. That was interesting. That's not the big glaring omission that I'm talking about. But now here's where we go with this. Here's the challenge. We've talked about this before. Because now it's come out that about $500,000 was spent by people advocating for Hillary Clinton. So talking about, hey, come out and make sexual allegations about Donald Trump and stuff like that. So we're going to keep looking at these stories, the top 10 or so stories from 2017 and some things into the future. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. It's great to be back with you. Happy New Year. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. It's Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you. First live broadcast of the new year. It's great to be back in Raleigh because Raleigh's a lot warmer than Chicago, Illinois, where we spent the Christmas vacation. And we're up there for like 8 or 9 days. Had a great time. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas break. I hope it's been a huge blessing for you. And here we are back at it at the beginning of 2018. Weren't we supposed to have flying cars by now? I mean, you go back and when I was a kid, which is a long time ago, I turned 52. Oh, my goodness, that sounds terrible. 52 for me personally. Next month, and we were thinking 2018, oh, yeah, flying cars, half of us will live on the moon. Nah, that's not happening, but we'll see what happens. But I'm going through kind of the top news stories of 2017 and one glaring omission. We'll see if you pick up on it. And I started this one. This is from the Associated Press. They do a big nationwide poll with U.S. editors and news directors. Some sexual misconduct, everything that's happened over the course of the year, that's been ongoing, especially in the second half of the year, but that was massive. Of course, Donald Trump's first year, their number two story, Donald Trump's first year. Controversy started on Inauguration Day, on and on and on it goes. Nothing odd there. We've known about that. That will continue to go on. That will continue to be one of the top stories of the new year is Donald Trump. He just attracts media and attention and controversy like stink on a monkey. So that's just the deal. There's no shock there, and that shows up on all these different lists. Number three, the Las Vegas mass shooting. Of course, you remember that back in October. I broadcast across the street from Mandalay Bay and the concert, the outdoor concert venue when I was in Vegas not that long ago. That was probably, I don't know, when was I there? A month and a half ago or so? And so that was obviously a huge story, the last Las Vegas mass shooting, 64-year-old man shot and killed 58 people from the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Hotel. That was horrible. Number four, according to this nationwide poll from the Associated Press, was the hurricane onslaught. That was crazy. In a four-week time span, Harvey, Irma, and Maria ravaged Texas, Florida, Puerto Rico, and other Caribbean islands. And, of course, North Korea, which is still a story and will remain a story, I'm sure, as long as they have any power or any influence or any attention at all. But the North Korea became a big story when, you know, he's calling President Trump a dotard and President Trump calling him Little Rocket Man. So it's like a couple of fourth graders on the playground calling each other as many names as they can make up. But this is serious business. North Korea, again, they're saying they're going to test their biggest ICBM yet in September, which will be their 70th anniversary. So that's been a big story this year. The Trump-Russia probe, I think we're going to see that die off in 2018. Who knows what's going to happen to James Comey? Who knows what's going to happen to Robert Mueller? Because that now is enshrined in controversy, as you see all kinds of anti-Trump people that have been embedded in that effort. But that's a big story. It started all the way back last fall and continued all the way through the year. Obamacare, I think that was a huge failure on the part of Congress and under the president's leadership, that despite all those repeated efforts and passing all these repeal measures before you got a quote-unquote Republican in the office, and then when push comes to shove, they can't get it done. They barely got done tax reform. We'll be watching in 2018 to see how that tax reform plays out for the average American and for companies. There was a great story, if you didn't pay attention to this, with the tax reform, which was obviously a big story. But all kinds of major companies, knowing that they had all the savings coming to them as the tax rates were lowered way down for corporations, were giving out like a plethora of bonuses. Those stories were happening over the last 2.5 weeks, which is really cool to see. And we're going to see the effect on the economy. Now you've got the economy really doing quite well. And even the mainstream news cycle and mainstream news sources are starting to say, well, yeah, you know, this is happening under Trump's watch. So you can't exactly give Obama the credit for it. It's got to go to the Trump administration and his overall impact. So very interesting. We'll watch that into 2018. Tax overhaul, of course. Worldwide terror attacks. The first big attack of 2017 came on New Year's Day. Remember that? A gunman killed 39 at a nightclub in Istanbul. And then we had England, a bike path in New York, the historic La Rambla promenade in Barcelona in October. Truck bombing in Somalia killed more than 500 people. Remember that? That didn't get a lot of press because it wasn't Western, but that still happened. And, of course, here's one that doesn't show up in every list. The almost complete destruction at this point of the Islamic State. ISIS absolutely been crippled in a year. Why? Because we happen to have a president that's allowed the military to do what the military is designed to do. You get the fetters off of them and let them loose in conjunction with the other countries that are involved in that. And we've seen almost a total destruction of ISIS. So praise the Lord for that. That was obviously a huge story for this year. This one's from NBC News. And this is what they're looking at. They put the new president at the top of their list. Of course, everything Trump over the year. It's been a wild political year because of Donald Trump. The Mueller investigation has been huge. Greater tensions with North Korea. So ABC here is agreeing with the AP. The Me Too movement, which I mentioned earlier off the air, with the sexual misdeeds and sexual abuse and sexual misconduct, all that stuff going on. So you had the Silence Breakers, which were Time Magazine's 2017 Person of the Year, and the hashtag Me Too movement. And again, I think largely a lot of that's been great to expose all of that. But also as some of these women come out and then the media, depending on which side of the media you're on, there's all the attacks, there's the allegations. Can you trust these people? So I think the upside was, hey, a lot of women now had the kind of the strength to come forward and share their stories, but the media comes in, depending on what side that woman appears to be on, and can hammer them. And then all of a sudden, my fear is that women that were maybe feeling empowered to come forward are now kind of pulling back a little bit because do they want to be called the next liar? I think that one's been a double-edged sword, but largely I think it's been great that's been exposed and that's come out. That kind of abuse cannot be tolerated and needs to be exposed, and I'm happy that that's happened. Of course, the massacres in Las Vegas and Texas, remember that. You can't ignore that one. So you had October 1st, which was Mandalay Bay, and then you had November 5th, which was the armored-clad shooter entered the church in rural Texas, opened fire, killing 26 people and injuring at least 19 others. It's been a horrendous year on that level. Terrorism in popular tourist destinations. This is from the ABC News list. And it's here's what's sad to me. And tell me if this has struck you at all. It's amazing to me, for me personally, how quickly we forget these things. And we just go on with life as usual. If our lives haven't been impacted immediately, personally, directly, even something like the Las Vegas shooter, that was October 1st. October, November 1st, December 1st, January 1st, 3 months later. And do you ever think of them? I didn't until I was out in Vegas, I don't know, 5 or 6 weeks ago for some meetings out there. And I did the show across the street from Mandalay Bay and right next to that whole concert venue and went through the list of all 58 people that were murdered that night. And you know, a few weeks later, we're back to your business, back to my business. And it's just amazing to me and kind of sad how this stuff just kind of gets left in the past. So like the terrorism and popular tourist destinations, I forgot most of these. In late March, 3 people were killed and about 40 were injured when an attacker rammed into pedestrians on London's Westminster Bridge. Remember that? And he tried to enter Parliament wielding a knife. In May, children were among the 22 killed in a suicide bombing after an Ariana Grande concert at Britain's Manchester Arena. Remember that one? That was the deadliest terror attack in Britain since 2005. Almost 2 weeks later, 7 people died and nearly 50 were injured when another vehicle rammed into pedestrians on London Bridge. During August, 13 people were killed and more than 100 were wounded in Spain when a van plowed into Barcelona's La Rambla tourist destination. And then tourism again hit the U.S. on October 31st when Saifullo Saipov rented a pickup truck and deliberately mowed down pedestrians on a bike path in Lower Manhattan. And it's sad to me how quickly we forget these things. God help us that we're so busy with our own lives that our hearts don't stay broken for long. At least mine doesn't. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. Some more about 2017 when we come back right after this.
What will make a man so bold? Make a woman lay her own life down. Only one thing, Jesus Christ.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. Happy New Year to you. And it's great to be back in the saddle after being gone for 9 days in Chicago for just an incredible Noble family Christmas. We just had a huge blessing. So a big shout out and a thank you to my sister and brother who are a part of that up there in Chicago, Mike and Kathy. And then Gina's sister, Nikki, and her brother, Jim, and their family and all their kids and all the cousins. It was just a blast. We had so much fun. It was just a huge blessing. And just great timing and just really it was the most enjoyable. It was the most fun Christmas I think we've had as a family. And Hayden, our oldest, who's now living in Orlando, which stinks, came up to Chicago. He flew up a couple days after we did. So we were all together. And, you know, if your kids are older, those days are fleeting when you can all be together again. But it's great to be back. And I certainly hope you had a blessed Christmas and are off to a good year. Yeah, and Chris Connell, who filled in for me last Thursday, this was an awesome praise. He's just put this up on Facebook Live. He's here somewhere in the building, and he just told me this story. Sorry about that. Praising God for my agnostic grandpa coming to Christ over the Christmas break, Chris led him to the Lord and prayed with him over the phone. And his grandfather, who's near the end of his life and fighting, I think, cancer. Is cancer, is that right, Chris? And it's amazing. Whatever it takes, right? Even the deathbed, it's not too late. And when people towards the end of life, never give up on your friends, on your loved ones, on people that you know that have rejected Christ. Never give up because it's amazing how those opportunities become more available as people start to come to grips with their mortality. And so never, let's not any of us give up on any of our loved ones, people that we say we love and care about. Let's not write anybody off when it comes to the gospel. We know our Father's will, do we not? That none should perish, that all should come to repentance. That is God's will. And so let's never give up on the people in our lives that don't know the Lord. Back to this list of 2017, and I was talking about how sad it is, how quickly, at least for me, I forget these huge stories, these terrible, heartbreaking stories, whether it be Mandalay Bay and the shooting in Las Vegas in October or just a little over a month later in Texas, and then the terrible things that have happened around the world terrorism-wise last year, and you just kind of get back to business as usual and back to normal. And, man, my heart breaks on those days, but it doesn't take long to kind of get back to the busyness of life. And I don't think that's a great – I think we're all thankful that we're not sitting there doom and gloom all the time. But, you know, our hearts are – you know, the news cycle just feeds us voraciously, and you move from one thing to the next. You go, well, that's a big story. Well, yeah, it is today. in 10 days from now or 14 days from now, it'll be replaced, even when it's chock full of human tragedy, like many of these stories. And then here's another one, the opioid epidemic, which is becoming massive. The White House Council of Economic Advisors recently reported that the epidemic's true cost in 2015 was $504 billion, more than six times the most recent estimate. And President Trump declared America's opioid epidemic a national emergency not that long ago. So that's a big news story from the year. Of course, the devastating hurricane season showed up on all these different lists. It was just horrendous. Hurricane season, unlike any other, finally came to a close in December. Harvey, Irma, and Maria went through southeast Texas, of course, in Houston and Florida and the Caribbean. Harvey, a Category 3 storm, drenched southeast Texas in late August. Less than 2 weeks later, Hurricane Irma, which, praise the Lord, wasn't as bad as everybody was thinking. But remember, they evacuated, 6 million people evacuated out of Florida. That's crazy. And that wasn't that long ago. And it was 2 weeks after Harvey. And then at the end of September, Cat 4 Hurricane Maria blew through Puerto Rico and made a mess of all that. And then one of the other huge stories this year, remember? Let me remind you, you had to get special glasses for it, right? Boom. There you go. The total solar eclipse. That was the first time, I think, since 1918. And I think in 2019, there's going to be another one that passes through that path of totality, as they called it, but it's going to kind of go from Texas all the way up to Maine. So we really regretted that we didn't get in on that. My wife and I were on a plane flying back from the Harvest Crusade out in California, so we didn't get any of it. But man, that looks so cool. So let's not miss that next time. And then, of course, the quote-unquote culture wars. You had the white nationalist thing and everything that happened there in August in Charlottesville, Virginia. And, of course, the NFL thing with the flag and the national anthem and all that mess. So that was all something that was a big deal, excuse me, this year. Here's Google, top search stories in 2017. DACA. Isn't that interesting? DACA was one of the top search stories in 2017. April the giraffe. I think I mentioned this off the air. I had giraffe once when I was in Kenya. Delicious. Doesn't taste like chicken. Looks and tastes a lot like roast beef. Sorry, April the giraffe. That was a big thing, I guess. I didn't catch that one. I guess I'm a loser and an animal rights terrible person. That was in April. But that was like the ninth biggest search story on Google for 2017. Hurricane Maria, followed by Hurricane Jose, followed by North Korea, followed by the Bitcoin price. We're going to talk to my buddy. We'll have David Fisher on tomorrow from Landmark Capital. We'll talk a little bit about Bitcoin. And then my buddy Steve Lewis from LNA Capital Advisors is going to come back in later this month, and we'll do kind of a 2017 recap. We're going to talk about Bitcoin then. Hurricane Harvey, the solar eclipse, the Las Vegas shooting, and Hurricane Irma. Okay, so this was an article I came across. Pastor James White, a great pastor near Charlotte, North Carolina. So here's what he was saying in this article. This was in the Christian Post. This is the time to recap the year that was. There are a number of ways to do it, many of which are interesting. You can look at a year in terms of notable deaths, viral events, political rises and falls. But how do you really get a 12-month snapshot of a culture's zeitgeist? I would argue for two words, the pastor says. Google searches. Oh, man. I'm not saying this will be what historians will mark in 10, much less 100 years, even less what is most significant. But I will say that it may be the clearest window into our current soul, which is what makes this list kind of scary. Okay, the top 10 searches, period. Hurricane Irma, number one. Matt Lauer, Tom Petty, Super Bowl, Las Vegas shooting, Mayweather versus McGregor fight, solar eclipse, Hurricane Harvey, Aaron Hernandez, and the fidget spinner. Look at that list. Top 10 just general searches in 2017 for Americans includes devastating things like hurricanes and the Las Vegas shooting, but like that fight, Mayweather versus McGregor, and then the fidget spinner. That's the top 10. We need a hobby. We need to read. We need to spend more time with our family, something. Okay, top 10 how-tos. How to this, how to that, okay? And this is, your kids can hear this list, all right? Everything's cool. Number one, how to make slime. Just call my daughter for that one, who just turned 13. Number two, how to make solar eclipse glasses. Number three, how to watch the solar eclipse. I don't think the president caught that one. How to watch Mayweather versus McGregor. That should say for free. Number five, how to buy Bitcoin. Number six, how to freeze your credit. That is unfortunately a very real problem for a lot of people today. Number seven, how to solve a Rubik's Cube. When did the Rubik's Cube come out? Somebody help me on Facebook Live and Google right quick. When did the Rubik's Cube come out? That we're still searching
on how to solve a Rubik's Cube all these years later. Rubik's Cube, really? Again, we need to read. We need some hobbies. We need to spend some more time with our families. I mean, what's the deal? 1974 by a Hungarian sculptor and professor of architecture. And then it came out as a toy in 1980. So here we are 37 years later, and the number seven most searched how-to on Google is how to solve a Rubik's Cube. Number eight, followed by the fidget spinner, how to make one. Number nine, how to cook a turkey in the oven. Number 10, how to screen record or screenshot, right? So if you have a question with any technical, just find anybody under the age of 20 and you'll be fine. Top 10, I already shared that. Top 10 people of 2017 that we, quote-unquote we, were interested in here in America. Top 10 searches on Google of people. Number one, Matt Lauer. Boy, we love the slop, don't we? We love the salacious stuff. That's why we buy People Magazine and Us Magazine. And even when you're at the grocery store and you love Jesus, you still look at, and I do it too, you glance over at the National Enquirer or whatever. That, it's just crazier the story, the more it grabs our attention. So Matt Lauer, number one. Meghan Markle. Oh, that's the girl that's marrying Prince, whatever his name is, right? Number three, Harvey Weinstein, of course. Number four, Michael Flynn, former part of the Trump administration. Number five, Kevin Spacey, who, a sexual abuser, happens to be a homosexual. Number six, Bill O'Reilly. Number seven, Melania Trump. Number eight, Kathy Griffin. Remember that? That happened last year. Kathy Griffin with what appeared to be the severed Donald Trump head. Number nine, Milo Yiannopoulos. That was him getting run off of campuses, you know, because he's a pretty radical Breitbart kind of guy. But that's what started the whole furor with free speech zones on campus, and you can't have hardcore conservatives like that show up. And number 10, Gil Gadot. Do you know who Gil Gadot is? Sorry, Gal. I'm showing my age. Gal Gadot is, anybody know? Come on, Gal Gadot from Israel, served in the Israeli military, Wonder Woman, okay? So at the end of all this, the pastor, James White, says, welcome to our world. So it is interesting to look at how we spend our time, what we get into. Here's the one thing. Here's another list from the Associated Press. Okay, tell me what's missing. Sexual misconduct, Trump's first year, Las Vegas mass shooting, hurricane onslaught, North Korea, the Trump-Russia probe, Obamacare, tax overhaul, worldwide terror attacks, Islamic State, almost decimated completely. What's missing? This is a story that was conspicuously missing from just about all these lists that's going to have an impact for the next 20, 30, or 40 years. And it didn't show up on a single one of these lists. The answer? Who got appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court? Neil Gorsuch. That is a huge story, and it didn't appear anywhere, which probably is not by accident, because that was a huge win for the conservatives and a huge win for Donald Trump. This is Steve Noble on Call to Action Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. It's Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you. Our first live broadcast of the new year. And our friends back again on Facebook Live. If you want to join us there, Facebook Live, that's easy. Just go to Facebook.com/C2A Radio, Facebook.com/C2A Radio. And you'll be live right with us right here in the studio. I happen to be at a studio in a church at Raleigh First Assembly, RFA Church here in Raleigh, North Carolina. Great friends of mine, great friends in the ministry. And just a great church. And Pastor Chris Connell was kind enough to stand in for me one day last week on Thursday. And he's done guest hosting for me many times in the past. And in RFA, it's just a fantastic church. So if you happen to be in my hometown of Raleigh, North Carolina, and you're looking for a church, there's several that I would mention, less than five, to be quite honest. But one of them is Raleigh First Assembly. It's just an incredible church. Chad Harvey's an incredible pastor, incredible staff here. So it's just great to be able to be in ministry with other people like this and to have their help, with even with radio and stuff. So that's been an awesome blessing. I'll be back in my studio tomorrow. So if you want to join us on Facebook Live, Facebook.com/C2A Radio. That is our address on Facebook Live. And you can join us there, and we have conversations. So if you're listening on the radio, and many of you listened delayed, like in our friends down in Tampa, they have a delayed broadcast. Our friends on Truth Radio in Jacksonville and St. Augustine's and down in South Georgia, they listen later in the evening. But if you want to be with us live, depending on where you're at listening to the show, Facebook Live is the way to go. Between 4 and 5 p.m. Eastern time is when we actually broadcast live on the radio. And like I said, many of our affiliates take it and play it at different times. It just depends on what works for their schedule. But Facebook.com/C2A Radio, and you can be with us right here in the studio. And while you're listening on the radio to commercials, we have another conversation here on Facebook Live. So I don't continue the conversation the same. I'm not taking from what I would share with you on the radio in the next segment and then pulling that into the Facebook Live conversation during the commercial break. We usually go down a different road. If I have a guest in the studio, then we'll ask them different questions that aren't a part of the regular interview, or I'll interact with my friends on Facebook Live and at a different way than we do during the show. And so that's just been a neat blessing. It's a really fun thing to do. Totally different way of doing radio together as opposed to just listening on the radio, which is awesome. And God bless all of our affiliates, especially Truth Radio here in North Carolina. Couldn't do it without any of them. But the Facebook Live angle is fun too. Facebook.com/C2A Radio. So that's another way to kind of be a part of the Call to Action family here. This is a story I found on that I wanted to touch on a couple of these things because I think they apply to, for the most part, probably to all of us. But this is from the Christian Post, ChristianPost.com. So this was a story that was like evangelical leaders identify poorly formed Christians among the top five challenges facing the church. So here, poorly formed, that doesn't mean they got a bad hairdo or bad wardrobe. That's like a lack of discipleship. We're not maturing. We're not growing in our faith. So obviously that's a problem. So this is from the article on Christian Post. Tim Keller, along with the leadership of the Gospel Coalition, listed five main challenges and five main opportunities facing the Christian church in 2018. Among the challenges are, quote unquote, poorly formed Christians. So this is kind of getting into it from this statement and from this article that was put out there. The leaders included Vice President Keller, Tim Keller, who earlier this year stepped away from full-time preaching at Redeemer Prez in New York, President Don Carson, Board Chairman Kevin DeYoung, and Executive Director Ben Pease. Here's a quote. They see a deepening secularism, threats to religious liberty, and growing cultural hostility to biblical Christianity, that's for sure. But some see the threats from within the church as even more worrisome in the article. Sin was the first main challenge listed, with Carson noting that its effects are wide-ranging, of course. One of the, quote, one of the particularly insidious idolatries of our age, at least in Western culture, is our obsession with personal autonomy. We make sacred the right to choose my own identity, my own morality, my own truth, with no major responsibility other than to be true to myself. Of course, that's a cultural issue, right? That so many people, and some Christians too, it's that whole obsession with personal autonomy. I will set every rule. I will decide what's right and wrong. It's secular humanism. It's the moral collapse of America. It's relativism. And that's that all that is idolatry. And that's obviously a huge issue. Second, the Christian leaders warned against divisions in the church when it comes to polarizing issues. And this gets sticky, okay, ranging from guns and marriage to NFL player protesting racial discrimination by kneeling during the anthem. Kevin DeYoung said, he's an excellent pastor, it can feel as we are more divided than we have been in a long time, divided by race, by politics, and by our approach to a changing culture. The fractures run so deep that we aren't even sure if evangelical is a word many people want to use anymore. The evangelical identity crisis was listed as number three biggest concern for the church, for Christians, in this article. And back to that. So can you, how do you remain unified in the Christian body of Christ if you can't agree on abortion, or if you don't agree on same-sex marriage, or if you don't agree on a political spectrum, Republican, Democrat, if you don't agree on Donald Trump? Can you imagine, to my conservative Christian brothers and sisters listening, can you imagine somebody actually being born again that doesn't think it's the government's job to get involved with the abortion issue and thinks that legally two people should be able to get a quote-unquote marriage, that's a state-sanctioned thing, and they just don't, those issues just aren't a big, big deal to them. But they make a profession of faith. They can espouse the gospel. They can tell you when they believe they were born again. Do you have a hard time swallowing that? That person's actually a Christian? I mean, quite honestly, I do. Because I don't understand how somebody can be right with the Lord and wrong on abortion. I don't know how somebody can be right with the Lord and know his word and be wrong on sexual ethics, whether it's gay marriage, homosexuality in general, or transgenderism, which is a mental disorder, right? I don't know how that happens, but that begs the question, how much theology do you have to have right in order to remain or become a Christian in the first place? How much theology do you have to have right? Do you still get drunk? Are you a believer in Jesus Christ and you still get drunk? It's only two or three glasses of wine, Steve. Okay, well, we can argue about that. So should I doubt your salvation because you still get drunk? Did you get drunk a couple nights ago, New Year's Eve? I had a few too many. But you're a Christian. You claim Christ. You can espouse the gospel. Oh, well, can somebody still be getting drunk and be a Christian? You know what the answer to that is? Yes. Can somebody still be, quote unquote, gay and be a Christian? Yes. Some people, like Christopher Yuan, a friend of mine, would say, but not for long. You shouldn't be able to engage in a outright sinful lifestyle. No problem. Piece of cake. And be a born-again Christian. So I agree. This is a huge problem. And you saw it with the Trump thing, with the Never Trumpers and everything. That was a huge issue leading up to the election of Donald Trump. And that's what this evangelical identity crisis was listed as number three. The Gospel Coalition leaders noted that throughout the year, it was questioned whether evangelical means a political voting bloc or a theological coalition. Some prominent Christian ethicists and pastors have even wondered whether the evangelical label is worth keeping at all, given the debates and divisions surrounding it. So some people, you say you're an evangelical, oh, you're a Trump voter. Or you're an evangelical, oh, no, I'm an anti-Trump person. If you're an evangelical, if you follow Jesus, you know, how can you be for a guy like Donald Trump? So you got this whole thing with evangelicalism in there. Russell Moore, president of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention, said in August that he's not sure if he would identify as an evangelical. Quote, it depends on who's asking me the question, he said. What I want to know is, what does someone mean when he or she says evangelical? The same way I've had people say, are you a fundamentalist before? Moore explained at the time. Gospel Coalition leaders said in their article that poorly formed Christians is another major obstacle for the church, largely cut off from history. This is so true. This is one of the main reasons I'm on the radio, is this kind of lack of discipleship, lack of knowledge, lack of wisdom, lack of study of your average born-again Christian in America. So this is from the article. Largely cut off from history, biblically illiterate, and catechized more by cable news than by creeds, today's evangelical Christians are naturally being shaped more by the ideological zeitgeist than by theological orthodoxy, they warn. Lastly, and that's so true, ignorance is destroying much of the witness of the church. And ignorance leads to apathy and cowardice, by the way. So evangelism dies on the vine with that kind of activity or lack thereof. Lastly, Tim Keller warned against the extremes of pietism, which he defined as completely inward Christianity oriented towards Jesus wants you to be happy, prosperity, and partisanship, which errs by politicizing Christianity according to rigid partisan categories. And that's where it gets difficult. Can you have born-again Christians that are card-carrying members of the Democrat Party? That's a question I think a lot of people wrestle with, myself included. The author wrote that such partisanship wrongly declares that you cannot be a true Christian conservative or progressive unless you toe the party line on every issue. This partisanship tends to shoehorn scripture and Christian practice into one or the other political boxes, Keller added. The five opportunities, and I think these are great, and then we're going to finish up today. The five opportunities facing the church, us born-again Christians here in America. Evangelism, which is why I work with Pastor Greg Laurie and the Harvest Crusade team and Harvest America, which I will be talking about a lot more in the coming days. We're doing another nationwide evangelistic outreach on Sunday, June 10th, live from Dallas Stadium, the AT&T Stadium where the Cowboys play, okay? That's why I stay involved there, so it keeps my heart inclined towards the gospel and inclined towards the lost, because we've lost evangelism largely in the Christian church in America. Unity and fellowship, biblical literacy, training and formation, and speaking prophetically with the gospel at the center. We talk about this a lot on Call to Action. If you're all truth and no grace, you're a bully. But if you're all grace and no truth, you're a coward. John chapter 1, verse 14, which I try hard every day to keep at the center of this particular radio show. John chapter 1, verse 14, Jesus full of grace and truth. You tell the truth and you do it with grace and patience and love. That's the prophetic witness that this country needs more than anything else. And on top of that, the gospel itself. Happy New Year, everybody. Excited to be with you here in 2018. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. And God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.